This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 396 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter. March corn, 407 and a half, up 9. May corn, 415 and three quarters, up 9 and a quarter. January soybeans, 1047 and a quarter, up 5. March soybeans, 1053 and three quarters, up 5. May soybeans, 1059 and a half, up 4 and three quarters. December wheat, 627 and a half, up 17 and a quarter. March wheat, 606 and a half, up 9. May wheat, 608 and three quarters, up 8 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Friday afternoon. Technical and fund buying at the Board of Trade fueled today's rally in corn futures. And with today's rally, a few country elevators hit the $4 mark for our new crop corn. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 to 13 higher at 370 to 389. Soybean bids were up 5 to 8 cents at 1015 to 1038. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 9 cents higher at 371 to 384, while soybean bids were 5 to 7 cents stronger at 1022 to 1059. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 to 9 cents at 368 to 395, soybean bids 3 to 5 cents stronger at 1027 to 1063, and the wheat bids up 9 to 14 cents at 517 to 587. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to 3 cents higher at 1047 to 1057. Basis dropped 2 to 5 cents range from option to 10 over the January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $417 to $427 a ton. That was down $450 per ton, with basis steady ranging from $50 to $60 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 9 cents, closing at $398 to $407, with basis steady ranging from 9 under to option the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 4 to 9 cents stronger at 377 to 387, with basis steady to 5 cents lower, ranging from 30 under to 20 under the March. Soybeans gained 5 cents, ranging from 1055 to 1060, with basis steady, ranging from 8 to 13 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 1 to 2 higher at 402 to 403. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 5 cents, with quotations at 1087 to 1090. Soft red winter wheat up 8 to 19 cents at 606 to 627, and the Milo gained 8 to 9 at 462 to 468. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 385 up to 402. New crop soybean bids range from 960 to 985. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 387 up to 402, with new crop soybean bids at 973 to 994. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 364 up to 402. New crop soybean bids at 957 to 990. And wheat bids for June, July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from 555 up to 578. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 162.05, down 35 cents. February live cattle, 162.17, down 40 cents. April live cattle, 161.40, down 70 cents. January feeder cattle, 225.60, down $3. March feeder cattle, 221.25, down $2.75. April feeder cattle, 221.10, down $3. December lean hogs, 87.52, down 2 cents. February lean hogs, 83.25, down $1.10. April lean hogs, 84.35, down $1.30. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 12th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 89 cents lower in the range of $75 to $82.99, with the weighted average carcass price of $81.06. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 lower on the light sows to $1 lower on the heavier sows, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds are 48 to 54, 4 to 5 weights 53 to 59, 5 to 6 weights 55 to 61, and 6 weights and up 57 to 63. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $53 to $60. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 14,861 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 449 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 156 to 166. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 142 to 144, and choice slaughter heifers 159.50 to 166. Now moving on to the Carthage Livestock Auction, they had a special feeder cattle sale. They had receipts of 780 head, feeder steers, medium and large ones, 5 weights 242.50 to 284. 6 weights were 230 to 248.50. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 5 weights were 221 to 245, and 6 weights were 211 to 231. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 160 to 164.25, and on a dress basis, 253 to 258. Heifers on a live basis traded at 160 to 164, and on a dress basis 254 to 258. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 285 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $92.55, and that was $1.62 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $245.03, that was $2.76 lower, with select carcasses at $234.10, that was $1.84 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 106,000, that compared to 105,000 last week, and 115,000 a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, cattle slaughter is still running a negative 7.4%. From the hog slaughter was estimated at 426,000, that compared to 426,000 last week and 433,000 a year ago. And on a year-to-date basis, hog slaughter is running behind 5.1%. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
USDA is seeking public comment on how it intends to improve the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP, one of USDA's largest conservation programs. The changes are intended to simplify the EQIP regulation regarding conservation practice scheduling, payment limitations, and other administrative actions, according to USDA. USDA has established a 60-day comment period for the rule. The rule is expected to be available in the Federal Register at regulations.gov. Comments are due by February 10th. Ron Plain, University of Missouri Extension agricultural economist, says cropland prices have likely peaked, but he expects cattle prices to continue upward. Plain said that farmland prices depend on interest rates and returns per acre that can be generated by that land.
We bid up cropland, and our expectation is that's probably as high it's going to go. For cropland prices, probably the peak is here because we've cut corn and soybean prices in half.
However, pasture land is dependent on cattle prices and how much producers are earning, which continues to increase.
We've had record prices this year for cattle, but we're expecting higher prices next year. So our opinion is for pasture land prices, probably going to see higher prices again in 2015. As far as the peak in cattle prices, maybe 2016.
Of course, that suggested peak of 2016 could change depending on the weather. Plain says a drought would cause producers to sell more heifers and cows, further delaying an increase in the cattle herd.
Chickens, 10 weeks from breeding to slaughter. Cattle, 9-month gestation. They have calves one at a time, and then a year and a half to two to raise that calf. So 3-year production cycle makes for a pretty slow changing industry.
That's University of Missouri Extension economist Ron Plain. The Poet Company has built and opened one of the world's first cellulosic ethanol plants in Emmitsburg, Iowa. The plant has about a 25 million gallon per year capacity and is processing a rough average of 1,400 bales of crop material a day. I spoke with executive chairman and founder of Poet, Jeff Broyne, for more details on their current plant and their hopes for the future in the cellulosic ethanol business.
It's doing pretty well. We're still up and down. We're still learning on different systems because it's a pretty complex facility and a lot of new technology and new size, but it's going well. Again, we grind about 1,400 bales a day at that plant. That's a new revenue stream for farmers, so pretty exciting there. You know, that's another issue where we'd like to build those all over America. But if we don't move from E10 to E15 and someday beyond that, there's no room in that marketplace for cellulosic ethanol. So what could happen is we may export that technology then to other countries. We have other countries coming to us saying, Brazil saying, let's build these plants here. We've got a market for our ethanol. And I would hate to see those plants, instead of going into a rural community, creating jobs, economic activity, and new revenue for farmers, cleaner fuels for America, going to Brazil or somewhere else. But that's certainly a potential if our government doesn't stand behind our renewable energy industry.
And that is definitely an issue. I mean, people want to have these plants here. People want to have jobs created here. But if the government doesn't get its act together, then maybe it won't happen.
That's exactly right. So again, if farmers need to stand up and be heard, make sure your congressmen and senators, even if you think they're supportive, let them know. Higher blends of ethanol are really important to the future of your operation.
All right, very good. And Jeff, what do you hope to see in the future? We know we've heard a lot about your concerns, but what do you really hope for in an ideal future?
Well, I hope we do continue to see more ethanol and gasoline. My father's a farmer. We built our first ethanol plant on the farm, basically because corn was $1.30 a bushel. That's why we built it, was because there was no future in sight for corn prices. And look, eventually it turned into a very, very good thing. Ethanol really did help agriculture. But I hope we continue to see increasing percentages of ethanol and gasoline. I think it's imperative, not just for the health of our country and our economy, of our entire country, but certainly for lowering gas prices. We're cheaper, cleaning our environment, we're cleaner. Decreasing our dependence on foreign oil so we don't send our Midwest kids over there to fight for oil, which we do now, and just creating a better, cheaper, cleaner product that we can use in this country.
Again, that was Executive Chairman and Founder of Poet, Jeff Broyne. More and more people are planning to raise chickens in their own backyard. Kevin Ellis is a poultry specialist for ATTRA, or ATRA, which is an information service project of the National Center for Appropriate Technology. Ellis says backyard poultry is moving off the farm.
You start to see a little bit growing into more kind of urbanized areas, and not just larger cities, suburbs, small towns as well. Interest is growing. A lot of people want to have it, get a fresh source of eggs every day, and it's a good activity for kids to kind of grow up learning about where their food comes from. It's a good educational tool. So it's growing, and also you can a lot of different uses for manure. You can compost it and use it in your garden.
Ellis says backyard poultry is growing, but anyone wanting to get into it needs to know what they're getting into before buying their first chickens. He says there has been a problem with people abandoning birds because they were not prepared.
A lot of people, they order chickens thinking it's really great, and then they get there and they don't have something for them to be in, and so usually get some losses because of that, and that's usually kind of unfortunate.
Another big concern is predation. Ellis says poultry producers need to protect their chickens from all sorts of predators.
People are starting to raise poultry on pasture, usually as part of larger systems, some rotational grazing, multi-species grazing. So the big thing is, you know, unlike cattle, chickens can be picked off pretty easily by not only, you know, coyotes or larger terrestrial predators, but also, you know, you got hawks and owls can be a problem as well. So there's a few things to help combat that. Usually predators are going to be the number one source of your losses. So, but if managed effectively, you can kind of reduce that to a good level. And I would stress not, you know, a lot of people go and just shoot out the coyotes and stuff like that. But I would say if you work around that, that way you don't have new populations moving in, and then you got to, it's a vicious cycle, I guess. So it's all about kind of training and working with the predators, and you can kind of work around that.
And just like anything having to do with real estate, raising chickens depends on location. Each community has its own rules for backyard farmers.
The main one is usually if you live in a suburban or urban area, roosters are not allowed. So that's the big one. It's usually noise problems. Mm-hmm. So usually you can only have hens, which some breeders, they have what they call sex links, where they can tell at the time of hatch whether it's going to be male or female. So you can get just only hens. But usually if you buy chicks, about half of them are going to be males, half of them are going to be females. So people need to take that in mind. So the roosters is the main problem. In poultry is kind of considered livestock, which, you know, a lot of places don't allow goats in your backyard and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's all about making sure that the regulations on your city regulations are fine, and also homeowners associations. Some of them have they have right. regulations against it. So it's all about checking. It varies by situation.
Ellis says many communities haven't even thought about something like backyard poultry, and most will be concerned about the noise. But he says hens are no more noisy than a dog. He suggests bringing that to the attention of community members and working with the city. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.